After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest? Are you holding on to secrets, fears, or frustrations? We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. Don't keep it all bottled up inside. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's also a great way to learn to resolve conflict, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow.
Being surrounded by a loving family is a wonderful thing. You can make it into a loving situation if you're not trying to run away. If you think it's just in your way, then you're a fool. Absolutely. There's no such thing as anything being in your way. Everything that's in our lives is our karmic reality.
Welcome to the Krishnadas Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishnadas shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishnadas' podcast, please go to BeHereNowNetwork.com/KD.
This is the mantra to Hanuman. Om Ham Hanumate Namaha. Om Ham Hanumate Namaha. We sing it together.
Om Hum Hanumate Namah. Om Hanumate. Om Ham Hanumate. Om Ham Hanumate.
Hey.
te namaha om hum namate
Did Babaji, meaning Neem Karoli Baba, ever meet the other Babaji, meaning who they call Guru Maharaj, or the Yogananda calls him Babaji? Any stories you can tell? Well, you know, most of that stuff is way beyond our pay grade. Whether these beings meet or not, it happens on another plane. They don't need to be in bodies to meet. They're way beyond that. But one time, I decided to go up to the cave. If you know the story from Autobiography of a Yogi, Lahiri or Lahiri Mahasai had been worked in the post office in Benares, I think. And all of a sudden, he was transferred way up into the mountains to Raniket, which is a little, was a very small little village, pretty far up into the Himalayas. From Kenchi, it was another maybe 4 hours to Raniket, maybe 3 or 4 hours. And then on from there in the mountains, there's a place called Dhunagiri. And in this book, Yogananda calls it Dronagiri, but it's actually Dhunagiri. And there's a very ancient temple there to the goddess Vaishnavi Devi. And that's on one hill. And then there's another hill. And on the backside of that hill is the cave. So what happened was that this man, Lahiri Mahasai, was transferred from one post office to the post office in Raniket. And one day he was wandering in the mountains. And he comes across this yogi who says, you know, hi, remember me? Oh, no, you don't? Oh, well, here, come here with me. And he takes Lahiri to this cave nearby. And he says, here, see, sit down. This was your cave in your last life. And see, here's your chimtas, which are these metal tongs that they use to push the logs around the fire. And he sat down, and by the grace of that yogi, who was Babaji Maharaj, or Guru Maharaj, he remembered his past lives. And he was, he remembered who he is. And he was a great yogi. And he became immediately a great yogi again. And Guru Maharaj taught him, or transmitted Kriya Yoga to him, or these some practices. And through those practices, he wiped away the dross on his memory, and he remembered who he was, and he became a very great saint. So I decided to go find that cave. I knew Mr. Tiwari's son, Shuddhad, and I were going to go there. And we knew basically where it was. We weren't 100% sure. So we took off. We had a driver. Let's see now, how did that work? We had Charlotte had a driver with him from Lucknow, and he started driving. But when we went to this little village, we met another driver, an old guy that Charlotte knew from when he was working in the mountains for the electric company, the electric division. And he was a hills driver, and he knew all the roads, and he knew where to go. So we were driving along, and we stopped in this one village for some tea and stuff like that. And we're sitting in this little chaiwala, and a guy walks up to us, and he starts talking to us. And he said that his family, I don't even know how he knew where we were going, but he said that his family was the family who inherited that cave and was taking care of that cave. They were the guardians of that cave. And he told us how to find it, exactly how to find it. So, of course, we offered him a ride. He was going back to Dhunagiri, but he said that he had some business to do and he would meet us there. He never met us there. He never showed up. We didn't know, we didn't hear anything about this family or anything like that. He was, who knows who he was, but he told us just exactly how to get to the cave. And then he disappeared. So we did go to that cave. It was really lovely, really beautiful spot. And we got there late in the evening, not late, late in the afternoon. And there were only a few hours of daylight left. And it was about an hour's walk from the road to the cave. And we were having trouble finding anybody to guide us to the right road. The right path up the hill, because when the sun set, there were a lot of leopards in that area, and people were really scared of being out at night, especially up in the mountains. And it was also said that at night, two tigers came and would sit outside the cave all night long, every once in a while slapping their tails down, you know, like that, making noise all through the night, these two tigers. So the villagers didn't want any part of it. You know, they didn't want to be around once the sun went down. Anyhow, we did get to the cave and we spent some time there. And so when we were back, before we had left, we were in Beemtal at the Tiwari's house. And we told KC Tiwari, Mr. Tiwari, that we were going to go on this pilgrimage to find this cave. And he said, oh, yeah, I was up there once with Maharaji. And he said, we were walking on the side of the mountain and Maharaji said, oh, the cave where Lahiri Baba lived was right up there around that side. You go this way. And he goes, I was there. I don't know what that means. But that's the story. It's a very powerful place. Now it's been the Yogoda Satsang, YSS, which was Yogananda's group in India, has kind of taken over the cave. They built a little ashram. There are some rooms nearby, and they locked the cave and... You can't really go in anymore. So, how do you best support loved ones who are dealing with old age and dying? You're talking about me? And do not consciously prepare for such a situation, or who are not engaged in a practice like Buddhism or any other practice. You love them. You can't change their minds. You can't make them think about things differently than they do. But you can serve them and love them and support them as best you can. And do everything you can to help. Who knows? Right before, as it gets closer and closer to death, they might become more open to... thinking about things in another way, but maybe not. But the love that you share with them is the most important thing. Besides, you don't know what dying and death is either, because we haven't died. All we know is book learning and stuff that other people have told us, even maybe great yogis. But we ourselves haven't experienced it. So, to tell somebody else something, to try to get them to believe something that you don't even believe, that's asking a lot. So share what you know and don't make things up. Don't try to change anybody. You share your heart with them as best you can to the extent that makes them feel better and not makes them feel uncomfortable. That's all you can do, as far as I see. You can pray. You can say prayers for them when you're sitting with them. And quietly, mentally, don't do it out loud. Make them uptight. But you can do Hanuman Chalisa. You can do all kinds of things. If you know the prayers from what's called the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is really the Book of Liberation in the in-between state. If you know some of those prayers, you could say those, but most of us don't know that stuff unless we've studied it carefully and specifically. So when you're with them, just don't get caught in the storyline as much as you can. Be with them, be present. Don't avoid your own emotions. You have to deal with those. We're not past all that stuff. We're still just human beings trying to get it together. And someone who's getting close to leaving the body doesn't need a lot of static in the room. So just try to be as present as you can and as open as you can. And that's the best thing you can do. Always in a maroon t-shirt. Is there any specific reason? Attitude of gratitude? Always for me. Thank you. Well, there is a specific reason. After I had my nervous breakdown in the temple and it became apparent I wasn't going to kill myself at that time anyway, Maharaji looked at me one day and he said, "You're Hanuman. Now you have to wear red. He said, take everything you have, all your clothes, everything, your blankets, everything, and dye them red." So he said, "Even your langoti, your underwear, you have to dye red." So I did. And he told me to wear red. So I wore red for a long time, and then after he left the body, I got very depressed and I stopped wearing red at one point. And even when I started singing kirtan, you know, I was wearing black all the time, black t-shirt, black pants. I was going to be the Hell's Angel of kirtan. And then finally, I just gave up and I started putting red on again. And that's why I wear red. It's Hanuman's color. And is one of the few things I can do that he told me to do. What happened to Maharaji's chapo? Now, chapo means sandal, and Maharaji didn't wear anything on his feet, so I really don't know what you're talking about. What happened to Maharaji's chapo? What could you mean? I don't know what you mean. He didn't wear chappals. He didn't wear sandals of any kind or footwear of any kind. It's been nearly 20 years that I started to take the yoga path. I feel myself as a sadhu, but family responsibilities still prevent me from moving forward. How do I let this family clinging go away without being irresponsible? I've always wondered if it was correct for a sadhu to leave their families. Can you talk about this? From Brazil. Bom dia. You know, you got to give up, dude. If you have a family, that's your karma. You must take care of those people. That's the situation. You wanted something. You took it. You pay the price. That's the deal right now. And the price isn't bad. Having a family and being surrounded by a loving family is a wonderful thing. You can make it into a loving situation if you're not trying to run away. If you think it's just in your way, then you're a fool. Absolutely. There's no such thing as anything being in your way. Everything that's in our lives is our karmic reality. and we have to deal with it in the best way we can. If you leave your family behind, that's not the best thing to do. First of all, you'll carry that with you. You'll have guilt, and you'll have shame, and you'll have doubts. And you'll know that those people are struggling without your help. And that you're not going to find any peace that way. Deal with what's in front of you in your life the best way you can. There are no mistakes. This is your life. Live it. And you think a sadhu means that you have to live somewhere in a cave and get bitten by rats and snakes and bats and pretend to not have any desires. You're fooling yourself. Absolutely. So stop. You know, this bullshit about being a sadhu, just stop. The yoga path means chitti vritti nirodha. When there's no vritti anymore in the chitta, in the consciousness, when the consciousness is like a calm sea with no waves. Every time trying to get away from your family is creating extraordinary waves for you. This whole question is full of waves. It's just a big wave in itself. You think happiness is somewhere else and you're going to go there to get something. Forget it. Reality lives within you as your own true nature. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. You're here. And if you can't live as a good human being in a family of your own creation, where are you going to go? You're just going to take that shit with you. That nastiness and that fear. It's just fear. You're afraid. There's fear. You're afraid. Deal with that stuff and you'll be very happy right where you are, where you should be. There's nowhere to go. I went there and found that out. What do we do if we're not very good at singing or chanting japa in silent? How do we do this for ourselves daily? Well, first of all, don't try so hard. One of the problems is you have great expectations. You know, I'm going to sit down. My mind's going to be quiet. I'm going to have bliss and ecstasy. And of course, that doesn't happen. So you get discouraged. And then discouragement causes other kinds of problems. Yeah, you get unhappy, you get depressed, you try other things, you don't sit, you do other things. It's not easy to calm the mind. It's not easy to do japa and actually pay attention. We've spent our whole lives facing the outside world, looking out and trying to get things we need from the outside. And being attached to things in the outside world, wanting this, wanting that, not wanting this, not wanting that. Just sit down and relax. And if you're doing your japa, which means the repetition of a mantra or the name, just simply do it. And when you notice that you're not paying attention, just come back. And don't do it for too long, because then you just get tense and I can't do this and I'm trying so hard. That is not going to help. You have to build up little by little. 5 good minutes, 3 good minutes is better than 3 hours of pretending that you're meditating. 3 minutes where you're really going to just be there. You turn your phone off. If you catch yourself thinking, you just simply let it go and come back. You don't spend any time thinking about, why am I like this? Why can't I do this? I'm thinking all the time. Forget it. Just keep coming back to the sound of the name or the mantra. Inside. Now, if you're alone, if there's nobody else around, you could speak the mantra or sing it low, in a low voice, quiet voice. That sometimes helps us pay attention. But if there's other people around, or you're in an apartment somewhere and you can't really yell and scream, you still could just whisper the mantra, and you can move your lips and your tongue And even though you're not making a lot of sound, it'll still give you, it still involves another part of your being and helps you concentrate, helps you stay aware. Little by little. There's no rush. No one's judging you except you. And, you know, there's no sense pushing yourself and trying to twist yourself up and make yourself into something you're not. None of us can pay attention. And when we start to pay attention, or we start to try to pay attention, that's when we find out how hard it is. But that's a stage you go through. It might take 20 years. It might take a minute, but you just calmly try to be with the mantra or the breath. Whatever you're doing, the breath, you can do breath with the mantra. You can breathe in the mantra and breathe out the mantra in one way or another. Regular practice is what's necessary. Even if it's 3 minutes a day, make it a good 3 minutes. Not that you sit there like this, but that you just make a deal with yourself. For 3 minutes, I ain't moving. I'm just going to sit here. And little by little, you will start to pay attention. Attention will happen. But you have to try. You have to put some effort in. Not hard, angry effort, but relaxed awareness. That's what's required. Little by little. Little by little. It was Babaji that Maharaj that led Lahiri to the cave. Did I ever connect with the old sadhu who told me I'd be famous? Famous and not rich. I met him once after that. He recently left the body. Last year, he was in his 190s, I believe, by then. Because I hadn't seen him. I saw him once since the 80s, so 90, 2000. So he was probably in his early 190s when he finally left the body. But I don't have any details about that. Can I speak about how to get rid of anger?
No!
You know, anger is one of the intense emotions that we feel. It's like a storm that comes up and just washes us away. They say that anger is very, very unhealthy for us on every level. There's all kinds of reasons why we get angry. I think anger and other negative emotions are, that's our work, because we identify with most of those fully. And so that's our work, is to deal with those negative emotions and to find a way to do that. You can't meditate yourself into another life where there won't be anger. We're carrying the seeds of trauma and betrayal and hurt and fear and guilt and shame and anger. We're carrying all that stuff with us every day, every breath we take. So it's a question of becoming aware of the different things that we're carrying. For instance, when I started to chant with people, I had had an epiphany in my room in New York. Boom. It was like getting hit with a lightning bolt. And I understood that if I did not sing with people, I would never be able to clean out the dark shadows in my own heart, with anger, shame, grief, fear, all those things. Those are the shadows. And I understood that it was just those unconscious shadows that were pushing me around and causing me suffering. And I understood that chanting with people was the only way I had, the only way that was being given to me to begin to deal with that stuff. And it has, to some large degree, definitely. I have a different relationship with that stuff than I used to. It's still here, but it's not the same. I mean, it's been a lot of years of chanting. So practice is very important. And learning about how these things work and learning about how to release that energy that's locked up in those emotions. It's very powerful, very difficult. Certainly can be done, but one has to be sincere. It's hard to really be so honest with ourselves. God, we say we want to give up anger, but we don't want to give up hating people. You know, we have our favorites, and there are people who've done us wrong, who we don't like. We don't really want to give that up. It's hard to give that up. So how are we going to give up anger? You know, it's like there's all this stuff mixed up in there. Regular practice, learning about yourself, trying to be honest with yourself, getting outside help if necessary, counseling, therapy, whatever you need to help you get through this life in a good way, you go for it. All that. My loved ones say that sometimes I look like I'm moping. Can you give me advice to remove that kind of body language? Are you kidding? I love moping. It's like home base for me. I spent my whole life moping. I don't mope that much anymore. I miss it. I'm not going to tell you how to stop moping. Keep moping. Enjoy. They don't like it. What are you going to do? Then I guess you'll have to stop moping. You'll find something else to do. It's not a question of body language. It's a question of emotional language, emotional atmosphere. Moping around. I love moping. It's so rich and real, juicy. Maharaji, did Maharaji leave his family? Maharaji left his family when he was 8 years old because his stepmother treated him very badly. She also had a son, and she wanted her son to inherit the farm that her husband owned. And so she didn't feed Maharaji well, and she didn't treat him well, so he ran away. He went home. His father found him again some years later, and he came home. And for the next long period of time, he had three children, and his daughter told me that in her memory, he was always around until the time that she went off to school, high school. In her uncle's house. She left home and moved to another city to go to a different school when she was a teenager. And it was after that Maharaji pretty much took off and then hardly ever went home again after that. But his family was taken care of and cared for, and his oldest son, got married, took care of it. The mother lived with him, and et cetera. And he took care of his responsibilities. Maharaji did. You know, we'd be in the temple, like in the summer of 72. I was living in the temple in Kenchi with some other Westerners, a few other Westerners. And every once in a while, Maharaji would get up and he'd walk into the back of the temple and go up on the roof of the Dharamsala. Big, flat roof, it was really. That had no roof. It was just a big, flat at the time, like a big platform. And he would sit up there in the middle of the roof and he wouldn't let anybody come. And while he was up there, a car would arrive and these two guys would walk into the temple. They'd walk right through the front of the temple, all the way to the back of the temple, up onto the roof, go sit with him for a little while and talk. And then they would walk out. They'd go right through the temple. They wouldn't talk to anyone, look at anyone, get in the car and drive away. We didn't know. We're just like, what is this? It turned out that it was Maharaji's son and his nephew. And they were coming for instructions. What crops to plant, how much to do this, what to do this, when to do this. Maharaji took care of business his whole life. So. How to overcome deep feelings of inadequacy. You know, these emotional issues that we have are so painful. They're so painful. There's so much self-hatred, self-loathing. There's so much lack of self-caring for oneself, knowing how to take care of oneself and be good to oneself. I really don't think that yoga meditation is going to be enough for us only. It hasn't been enough for me. I've needed other help. I've needed counseling. I've needed therapy. I need help to see things more clearly. The practices I do give me an inner strength to let go of stuff once I see it. But seeing things clearly is very hard for me. What's really functioning in there? What's really pushing me around inside? So look for help, whatever that means to you. You have to find a way to deal with these things. You have to find some help. And you can. You have to have courage and allow yourself to find a way to help you deal with this stuff. Can you speak about the balance of effort and non-effort in the spiritual path? When the answers come from within, why do I so love reading the works of others? Well, it's not just reading the works of others. It's also taking teachings from others and doing practices that we've learned from others and et cetera, et cetera. So I've told this a number of times, but I love the story. You see, we'd be sitting with Maharaji and he would look at us and he would say, I have the keys to the mind. I could turn your minds against me. And he would laugh. He would laugh and we'd go, Baba, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. Can you imagine? You know, you wake up one day, you're in India and you go like, what am I doing here? I'm going back to New York. You just wake up and you've been transferred and you don't even know it. You're just like the rest of your life just started. He said he could do that, and he probably could. I don't doubt it. But he would just laugh. He was just teasing us, maybe. So some years ago, I was with Siddhi Ma, and I said, you know, Ma, Maharaji said he has the keys to the mind. So to me, that means that I am where he wants me to be, that I'm doing what he wants me to be doing. I'm where he puts me because he has the keys to the mind. He's putting my mind in a situation. He's putting me in a situation. So I said, Ma, if that's true, is it all his doing? In other words, is it all grace or is my effort required? And she said, Krishnadas, it's all grace. But you have to act like it isn't. It's all grace, but you have to act like it isn't. You know, Maharaj used to say, I've done everything. I leave the mind to you. Whoa. So, it's so hard for us to accept a deeper reality. Ramana Maharshi often talks about, he said, there's two ways to go. One way is self-inquiry, which is a whole practice. I won't talk about that now. But the other way is surrender. You surrender to God or to Guru. But if you've surrendered, then all the responsibility is the Guru's responsibility, or God's responsibility. It's up to them now to do it. It's no longer your problem. There's no need to think about it anymore. It's finished. You're free of all worry. You're free of everything. There's no responsibility. Our is gone because you've given it to God. So we can't do that. We cannot surrender. We're not ripe enough to actually give it all away and to recognize that we really don't have much say in this at all. So that part of us that still thinks we are who we think we are, that's where the effort has to be made to release those stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves, who we are, who we're not, what we want, what we don't want. Are we this? Are we that? Are we that? Are we this? All the stuff that we think all day long, because we think about ourselves all day long. So that's the level where effort is required to calm the mind, to release the thoughts of me, 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 me. You know, Maharaji never gave us practices to do for the sake of our own spiritual enlightenment. He didn't do that. He told us to think about others. It was too subtle for us to understand. It was too simple. We were complicated. We wanted practices. We wanted meditation practices. We wanted visualizations. We wanted mantras. We wanted all this. We were so busy in our heads. We just couldn't actually appreciate what he was saying. Don't think about yourself. How? Do you not think about yourself when that's all we do? So that's where the effort required to release those thoughts of me, 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 the planet of me around which everything revolves. My happiness, my situation is the most important thing in the world. And as long as everybody's good to me, I'll be okay. But as soon as somebody fucks with me, I'll get them because I have to be okay. You know, that's where we live to some degree or other. What to do? Chant. Meditate. Do some japa. Love everyone. Serve everyone. Remember God. If we could treat other people that we meet during the day, simply, if we could just treat those people the way we would like to be treated, like the way we would like to be greeted, the way we would like to be spoken to, it'd be a different world. Just, you know, and it's not easy. The other day, I was trying to get this prescription filled and my insurance had changed. So they were charging me like a humongous amount of money for this prescription. So I had to find another pharmacy. So I called in a different pharmacy to the doctor's office. And then it turned out that was also like extraordinarily expensive. So the woman in the doctor's office giving me a hard time said, you know, you realize this is the third time you want to change the pharmacy. And I said, she said, you can't do that. And I was like, who the fuck are you talking to? I thought, I didn't say anything. She works for the doctor that I pay a large amount of money to see. And she's telling me that I can't change the pharmacy. Who the fuck does she think she is? This is the great Saint Krishnadas. This is the way I am. Terrific. So it's taken me like 3 days to calm my ass down. And I still keep thinking I'll say something to her when I get her on the phone. Or next, when I go to the doctor, I'm going to say, you know, somebody on your staff gave me a really hard time. You see how it is? How hard it is not to take things personally? It's hard. It's very fucking hard. So we have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at. I'll get over it eventually. And I probably won't say anything to her or to the doctor, maybe. But come on, you know, it's hurt. I was hurt. She didn't care about me. She didn't care that this prescription was going to be $700 with my insurance when I could get it somewhere else for $20. She's giving me a hard time. You see how much stuff we go through in one day, and it sticks to us. So you have to do your practices, and you have to be honest with yourself about when you see this stuff, you have to kind of digest it. You know, digest it. Tell yourself, you know, work with it. She was having a bad day. She would have said that to God if God was on the phone. It wasn't aimed at me. I took it personally. That's my problem. So I'm just trying to show you that it's a process that goes on your whole life. No matter what great experiences you might have, they don't last. They show you something. Then you come back and deal with your stuff. But it's the practices that ultimately free us from those identifications. So, I don't have any water. Okay. Anyhow, so that's the deal. So I just, you can see I'm still pissed off about it. I wonder if she's listening. I tell you, you know, it's endless. Endless, endless, endless. Thank you, thank you. So when people are nice to us, we're just so high, we're so happy, we're so free, so loving, we're so at peace and at ease. If people say one bad word to us, we're ready to fucking kill them. That's how we are. That's how human beings are. Ultimately, that's not gonna work. So. Oh boy, it got late. How long did it take you to keep it simple? Somebody asked. Well, you can see I haven't done that yet, right? Good luck. Thank you. All right, that's it. That's it for today. I hope it was okay to unload that little bit of bullshit on you, what I go through in a day. So please, you know, I'd like you to understand that this is a process. Life is a process. Every day we do some stuff, we go through our stuff, we react, we create karmas, we're just full of stuff, but we do the best we can. We do the best we can. That's all we can do. We hope that it gets better and better as time goes on. If we're sincere about our stuff, if we're honest with ourselves, then we have a good chance.
Shiva.
Yeah.
Shivaya, Girija Shankara Namah Shivaya. Shambhu Namah Shivaya, Girija Thank you.
Now that felt good. But if I can't talk to the nurse in the doctor's office without anger, if I can't Namah Shivaya to the soul inside of that being, I still have a lot of work to do. That's where we see work we have to do, the way we treat other people. It's fine to be able to sing and have a little joy or a little whatever, good feelings. But the minute you talk to people, your defenses come up. You got the guns out on the turrets and the spies watching everybody, making sure everybody's treating you just right. And things are the way you want them to be. But there's no Namah Shivaya anywhere. So that's why we try to do these practices and give ourselves as much as we can to the practices, because we will be pulled into that feeling and away from those, the energy of anger and shame and fear and selfishness. And then we get to see it more clearly and have the possibility of letting go. Because when it's finally Namah Shivaya all the time, everywhere, with everything and everyone, game is over. Done deal. That's why Maharaji said it's better to worship God in everyone. The best form to worship God is in every form. So, good lessons for us.
Shri Guru Charan Sarodharaja Nijamana Mukara Sudhari Varano Raghu Varavimala Jasu Chodaya Kupala Chari Buddhihin Tanjanike Sumiram Pavan Kumasiyara Alabudhi Vidya Dehu Mohi Parukhales Bekara Yavara Ramachandra Padade Sharanam. Jaya Hanuman Gyana Guna Saga Jaya Kapi Sati Loka Ujaga Ramadurta Tulata Baladhan Anjani Purta Pavana Sutanam Mahavira Bekham Bajarangi Kumati Nivar Sumati Kesam Kanchana Varana Viraj Subesa Kanana Kundala Kunchita Kesa Atta Bajra Urava Jabiraj Kande Munjajane Usaji Shankara Suvan Kesari Nandan Eja Pratap Mahajagabandan Vidyavan Guni Ati
Shanti Chatu Ram Kaji Kari Beko Atu Prabhu Charitu Suni Beko Rasiya Ram Lakana Sita Manu Basiya Sukshma Rupa Dares Yahindekava Vikata Rupa Dare Lanka Jarava Dhima Rupa Dare Asura Sanhara Ramachandra Ke Kaj Sanvare Raya Sajivana Lakana Jiyaye Shri Raghubir Parashura Lai Raghupati Kini Bohut Barai Priya Bharataya Sambhavaya Sahasamadan Tumaro Jasagam Asakai Shripati Kuntalagam Sanakadika Brahmadi Munisa Narad Sharad Sahita Ahisa Pyamma Kubera Digpala Jahante Kabhi Ko Vidakai Sake Kahante Upakar Sumiwa Inkina Rama Milaya Raja Padadina Maro Mantra Vibhishanamana Lankeshwara Bhai Sabha Jagajana Yuga Sahasra Jojana Parabhana Ilyotayima Durpala Jana Prabhu Mudrika Mele Mukamahi Chala Dilangi Gai Achara Janai Yuragam Kaj Jagat Ke Jete Tugam Anugrah Tumare Te Te Ram Duvare Marakavare Otna Agya Binu Pezare Sab Sukhlahe Tumhare Sharana Tumara Chakka Kahu Ko Dharam Apan Tej Samaro Ape Ino Loka Hanka Tien Kampe Bhuta Pisashan Kat Nahi Aave Mahavira Jab Naam Sunaave Nase Roga Hare Sab Pira Japata Nirantara Hanumat Vira Sankatate Anuman Churave Manakram Bachan Dhyan Jolave Sabapararam Tapasu Viraja Dinake Kaj Sakal Tumasaja Aur Manorat Jotho Elave Sove Amit Jeevan Palapave Charon Yuga Partap Tumara E Parsid Jagat Ujjayara Sadhu Sant Ke Tumarakavare Asura Nikandana Ram Dulare Ashtu Siddhi No Nidhi Kedata Asavar Dina Chyanki Mata Ramara Sayan Tumare Pasa Sadaro Ho Raghupati Kedasa Tumare Bhajan Ram Ko Pave Janam Janam Ke Dukh Bisarave Dakal Raghubar Pur Jai Jahan Janmar Bhakt Kahai Or Devata Chitna Darai Hanumat Se Sarv Sukh Karai Sankat Kate Mite Sab Pira Jo Sumere Hanumat Balabira Jai Hanuman Gosai Kripa Karo Guru Dev Ki Nai Jo Sat Bar Pat Kar Koi Chut Hi Banni Mahasuk Hoi Jo Yah Par Hanuman Chalisa Hoya Siddhi Sa Ki Garisa Tulsi Das Sada Hari Chera Ki Jai Nath Hridaya Mahandera Bhavanath Naya Sankatarana Mangala Murti
रूप से आरा राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बसौ सुरबूप से आवर राम चंद्र पद जय शरण मंगल मूर्ति मारुत नंद सकल अमंगल मूढ़ कंद मंगल मूर्ति मारुत नंद सकल मंगल मूढ़ कंद राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम जय सियाराम जय बाबा हनुमान संकट मोचन कृपा निधान जय सियाराम जय बाबा हनुमान संकट मोचन कृपा निधान श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम 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 श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
If we know anything about a path at all, if we know there might be a way to live in this world in a good way, without anger, without fear, maybe some peace of mind. It's only because of the great beings who have gone before us on this path. Out of their love, out of their kindness, they left some footprints for us to follow. So in the same way that they wish for us, in the same way that they wish for us, we wish that all beings everywhere, all of us be safe, all of us be happy, that all of us have good health and enough to eat. And may we all live in peace. And that ease of heart with whatever comes to us in life. Namaste. Take good care. Take good care, and we'll see you soon. Be well.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest? Are you holding on to secrets, fears, or frustrations? We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. Don't keep it all bottled up inside. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's also a great way to learn to resolve conflict, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/BeHereNow.